Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being our God, and thank you for the opportunity that we have to open your word. Father, it is a good word. All your word is good. And just whatever book I'm in, I think it's the best book. But Lord, today we want to come to you with a very important question that we all have to ask. In order for that to be done correctly, Lord, I'm going to ask you to move me out of the way, that you can have the freedom to say and do whatever you want to do. For those of us who need comfort, I pray you will comfort us. And those of us who need conviction, I pray you will convict us. May none of us be the same. For Father, this is a very important question that we must face. Thank you so much for the day. Thank you for the Son. That's S-U-N and S-O-N. Your Son, Father. In your Son's most holy, precious, and glorious name, by the control of the Holy Spirit, we all say, everyone turn to that book that I know you spent lots of time in devotions, the book of Numbers. Book of Numbers, chapter 13. I don't know about you, man, but 13 is not always that good number to think about, huh? But when you run into a chapter 13 in the Bible, you can drop all that superstitious stuff. Man, this looks good up here, Joe. The sun's out, man. I can see the word. It's not like being inside where you guys won't give me no light. Everyone got Numbers 13? If you're going to come to Antioch, let me encourage you something. Bring your Bibles. If you're going to come to Antioch, finish that for me.
Bring your Bible.
Bring your Bible. Yes. It's very important. If you're going to come to listen to someone talk about the Bible, it's always good to make sure you got it in front of you. Because I can tell you some stuff that you won't be able to find in the Bible, but if you don't have it, you won't know. Just like right here in Numbers chapter 13, verse 1, make sure you give Pastor Hutch a big check at the end of the service. But if you have your Bible, you guys need to pray for me lying. Can I have an amen on that? Verse 1, 2, and 3, you guys heard at the beginning of the service. I wish we had a little thing that we're going to do next week because we'll be inside today, but it's okay. Verse 1, 2, and 3, and the Lord spoke unto Moses. How would you like God to speak to you? That can shake you up, amen? Shake you up. That reminds me of the old Quaker brother that decided he was going to pray, and every day he's going to pray until God spoke to him personally and audibly. And he started praying. After about 2 years praying every day, one day he got down on his knees, and God looked over at Peter and some of the boys and says, tonight, when he prays, I'm going to speak to him audibly. And he got down and he said, Lord, I've been praying for almost 2 years and I need for you to speak to me. God says, what do you want? Man, I almost had a heart attack right there. God, is that really you? You've been praying for 2 years. That's part of your problem. Most of you guys down there praying, you don't believe I'm going to move. And then when I move, you're surprised. What do you want? As if he didn't know, can I have an amen? He said, well, Lord, I just want to know how much is $1 million to you? God said, $1 million? Like a penny. Like a penny? Finish that line for me. $1 million like a penny. He said, wow, Lord, I don't want to push it, but can I ask you another question? He said, absolutely. He said, how long is 1,000 years to you? God said, 1,000 years? Like a second. God, 1,000 years like a second to you. Finish this sentence. Like a second. He said, God, I don't want to really push it, but can I ask you another question? He said, absolutely. He said, can I have a penny? God said, yeah, just a second. I'm glad he didn't do that to Moses. Can I have an amen? God spoke to Moses saying, send down men that they may search the land of Canaan. Watch out, boys, it's the cops. I want you to send men out there, which I give unto the children of Israel. What did he give to the land of Israel? What are they going to search? I can't hear you. Speak up. It's loud. He said, I have given you the land. I want you to go out and search the land that I have given you. How much emphasis does God need to put on this one statement? This land is yours. I have given it to you. I want you to go out and I want you to observe the land which is yours. Now, the sermon today is, who do you trust? Who do you trust? Last week we talked about, who do you love? If you hadn't answered that question, it's going to be very difficult for you to answer the question that is coming at you today. We talked about, if you love God, that's going to be peace. If you love God more than you love your family, that's one thing. But the second aspect is, does your family know you love God more than them? Number two, do you love God more than you love comfort? Can't hear ya. I need a little response. Do you love God more than you love your comfort? And the third thing in Matthew 10, verse 34 to the end of the chapter we talked about is, do you love God more than you love your life? Do you love your family more than you love God? And does your family know you love God more than them? Do you love your comfort more than God? And do you love your life more than God? You got to get those questions answered. If you want to see some things happening in your life and things happening in this church, I want people here with us that love God more than those three. And today, if you got that question answered, some of you may have heard it for the first time, but if you got that question answered, I want you to see what it means to answer the question, who do you trust? Now, I can't see anywhere in that verse where it says, I want you to go and look at the land that you may get. I want you to go get that land, and if the guys over there are weak, I think we can handle it. How would that be a good pep talk for you? I got some personal experience. Can I give you some personal experience? I can't hear you. Let me give you some personal experience of a pep talk from one of my professional coaches when I was playing football. Coach Tommy Protho of the San Diego Chargers. I was playing middle linebacker for the Chargers at the time. We was getting ready to play the Pittsburgh Steelers. That happened to win the Super Bowl the year before. And they was winning this year. And I think our record at the time was 1-6. We were just rolling in victories. Right before the game, we just finished warm up. We got our jerseys and everything on, the pads, and getting ready to go out, man. We are psyched up. Coach Protho, who was a chain smoker. I mean, chain smoker. Do I have anything against chain smokers? Mm-hmm. Yes. He walked in the dressing room. Well, gather up. That right there alone will get you fired up. Amen. Exactly the way he talks. Well, gather up. Right in the dressing room. Back in the professional days, man, you know, it wasn't like you're in high school or college. You are an adult. So at halftime, before the game, guys would light up. Now, the rules today, with all of the health stuff, don't go on. Can I have an amen? Okay. I don't think. Held the cigarette right between these fingers. Has the cigarettes gone when you get through that puff. Men, we got a game today. Whoa, coach, you on it, baby. We're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I don't know how good they are. I do. He said, man, I don't know if we can win this game. This is the pep talk. Don't lose sight of what's going on here. We're just getting ready to walk on the field and give our lives to the game. If Pittsburgh has a very bad game, and we have a very good game, we have a very good game with no mistakes, I think we can win. But then again, I don't know. Let's go, boys. Now, how many of you? Flat out truth, exactly the way it happened, week after week at times. How would you be fired up? Now, if God had given that kind of instructions to his people, I can understand a little hesitancy. But who do you trust? Are you going to trust the word of God? Are you going to trust the report of those who are supposed to believe God, who come back with always a negative report? Can I have, can I have some response? Because if you get response, the quicker we're going to get out of here. All right, Pastor Mark, you just hold it down over there. Can anyone tell me, right here, verse 3, and Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran, all those men, and they were head of the children of Israel, one ruler from every tribe of Israel. Can anyone tell me how many tribes are there in Israel? 12. So he sent 12 leaders. Can anyone in here, can anyone out here? Can anyone out here tell me how many of the 12 came back with a positive report?
Two.
How many?
Two.
Then that means how many, I know it's rough on me. I'm an old athlete from Alabama, so I'm not going to try to figure this out. How many came back with a negative report?
Ten.
Ten of the 12 came back with a negative report that we're going to break down and get into next week. Now, this is the question I have for you. Who do you trust? But can anyone in here tell me the name of the two guys that had a positive report? I can't hear you. Caleb and Joshua. Hark, hark, hark. Can anyone tell me all 10 names of the ones who came back with a negative report?
No, sir.
without reading in your Bible. Can't hear you? Do you even know, have any of you ever have noticed that all 12 names was given in the Bible? Now, you didn't know all 12 names was given in the Bible, but you can tell me the two that came back who trusted God and followed through after 40 years of trusting God and got the promise that God gave them 40 years later because they never stopped believing and knew who to trust. So let me ask you a question. Are you worth trusting? You say you walk with God. Are you worth trusting? Because I'm going to give you a little secret. If you're always coming back with negatives about what God can and can't do, you're going to be just like the 10 who has been forgotten. Because when you trust God, people, it is amazing what can happen. You want me to give you a little example? Several months ago, there was a young man who had a motorcycle wreck. And we have been praying and praying, and it didn't look good. Didn't look like he was going to make it. Infections. Everything else was going on in the hospital for weeks. You and your prayer and your trust in God. John John's with us today. Where are you, John John? Raise that hand up there big time, bro. Right under the tent right there. I just want to ask you a question. Who do you trust? I just want to ask you a question. Are you trustworthy? Are you one to be remembered about what you say? Or are you one that people need to forget real quick what you say? I want to talk about trusting God 20-some years. 20-some years. I've been working hard on a vision and a call I believe God has given us. Help the local farmer. Help them keep their families and their farms, their ranchers, the fruit growers. And every time you turn around, someone says, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's impossible to happen. No way you're going to turn that market around. Last Thursday, I sent a prayer request out. Many of you guys did what? Pray. Do you believe and trust God? I'm going to tell you, God is awesome. We got through at the meeting Thursday, and everything I've been working for through the Lord for the last 20-some years, we finally got our major breakthrough. No. That's a courtesy clap right there. Come on, amen. Really. That's a courtesy clap right there. Let me tell you what I'm talking about. See it? Are you here? You and I got to get together this week. Okay? I'll give you a call. Minimum, if we get this thing worked through right, in the next year to year and a half, we're going to be pulling $1 million a year in. Minimum. You know how much ministry we can do with another $1 million a year coming in? How many more businesses that we can do, Christian businesses we can help start? How many of you who are sitting there maybe not having jobs that God can come through for you? That's minimum. But what we're looking at, because we're talking about major distributors, major grocery stores, major restaurants. You know, a lot of people, when you do something, you can hear people that tell you, well, you know, that holy cow meat isn't that good. Oh, I taste it. I've had better. It's a good thing I don't put my trust in what some people say.
Yeah, amen, brother.
We put it in what God say to do and how to do it. Mm-hmm. We took it to the best meat suppliers in the Northwest companies. We give them examples, some samples. Our meat came back graded, some of the best they've ever tasted. So within the next 3 to 5 years, we're talking about $5 to $6 million a year coming in through Holy Cow Ministry. Let's give God a hand. Because who do you trust? Because if you don't trust God, you're going to give up. When he don't come in on when you think he should, you're going to give up. And the reason why many of us don't see God come through, because he knows you're going to give up before he does. So why should he come through when he knows you're going to give up? Why bless unbelief? Why bless distrust? Well, I tried God. What, for 10 days? 2 months? How about 20 years? Well, I can't wait to get into the next week so we can break it down to you. All right. And then we get into the book of John, because that hut, Pastor Hutch, is hot for the book of John. I have prayed myself full, studied myself hot, and don't touch me until you throw some water on me, because you'll burn yourself for the book of John. I guess it's about time for us to have some baptisms. Can I have an amen? Amen. I know the children been there for a long time, guys. I'm going to pray close the sermon with you believing and you thinking about how to trust God. Put your trust in God. Don't put your trust in man. Don't put your trust in money, because tomorrow money can be gone. Tomorrow every man has made you a promise can be gone. But God is faithful and worth, finish that sentence, trusting. God is worth trusting. Father, thank you. Amen.